This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. There are many device works created by theatre groups that are being staged. As with these device works, there is no singular playwright. The director functions as an editor who prompts with questions and instigates with subjects and issues, and then with what is offered by the rest, he shapes the content all into something coherent. There are locally devised works, but locally written plays, with the exception of the 10-minute works created for Short and Sweet, there are few. Works that have gone through the process of writing, rewriting, workshopping, and more rewriting, and then produced and staged. This past Wednesday, the first of four brand new plays got an airing as staged readings at the Kuala Lumpur Performing Arts Centre. The person driving the project is KLPAC's Director-in-Residence, Tung Jit Yang. Jit, how would you describe the playwriting landscape in our country?
I think I can only speak from my experience. I came back from New York, you know, as a trained director. I wanted to direct something, a local play, you know, a contemporary, local, current play. But a lot of people pointed me at the same kind of directions, Usman Awang, kind of like, you know, the greats that came before. And I was just wondering where our, you know, the fresh young voices were. There were lots of works, sure, but there was no published plays that I could pick up and read and kind of investigate it. Instead of giving up and saying, oh, I cannot find the place, why not try and look for the playwrights here? Those, you know, I'm sure there are playwrights here, just they haven't written anything or no place to publish or anything. So I thought, yeah, why not create a space or an avenue where these playwrights could work on full-length piece? Because, yeah, we're here in KL, we've got lots of short and sweet. You know, we've got a lot of short sketches, 10-minute pieces, or new plays get written and then staged and then finish.
Disappear.
They kind of, yeah, disappear. Because from New York, yeah, everyone was trying to get published. Everyone, you know, when you go to those playwriting bookstores, you can get, yeah, new plays of this place, you know, new plays coming out from Pennsylvania, new plays coming out of Yale, you know. So I was like, where is KL's community here? So I thought of the new play project, trying to perhaps add to the landscape, yeah.
Why do you think there's such a dearth of playwrights or plays written and produced as opposed to devised works?
Yeah, we have a lot of new original devised work coming out of KL right now. For me, it's just perhaps avenue, the whether or not there's space or people who are willing to publish and to bring all these full-length pieces to the fore to say, hey, yeah, these, there are playwrights here, we want to feature them in a book, and then please buy the book, come read them, and then stage them in your theatre, read them in your classrooms. Like, I heard one story of, like, I don't know which local university, just, like, you know, through the grapevines or just casual conversations with colleagues. Like, for example, like, UITM studies, like, a certain play over and over again. Every single year, they would study the same play. You know, I mean, there's an exercise in that, of course, I'm sure. But, yeah, it sounded to me like there are people out there hungry to look for, you know, new playwrights. Yeah.
Is this a reflection that perhaps we are not mature enough? If I'm thinking in terms of support system, enough funding, we always go back to that question, yeah. Enough people to train others how to write a play, the whole ecosystem.
Yeah, I guess not as established. I mean, I came from New York, right? So kind of like a mecca for like theatre or whatever. But yeah, so there they've got a huge ecosystem there already. You know, like lots of theatre companies, actually part of their backbone structure is the new playwrights of the time. We want to only stage new works coming out of New York, of the US, you know, local plays coming out of the US. So yeah, the structure then is always a constant search there for it. But here, not so much that search. But then we also, on the flip side, where are they? I want to direct something. I want to watch something local. I want to watch something, you know, very KL, very Malaysian. And yet there's not that structure. Yeah. And I was just reading an article, not just, but one of the things that inspired this also was, I think it was a Guardian article talking about how these two playwrights, they were working on plays with a theatre company for over 2 years. You know, one project, one play, over 2 years. It was kind of understood that writing something full length, that playwriting is a craft that takes time, it needs a support, and then it needs actors to workshop it. So, but I think like Joe Kukutas's first works, for example, that gave us Aircon. So the new play project is not very original in that sense. I saw a lack and then I thought new play project could fill that lack.
When did this specific project start?
The new play project started last year, 2017. It started, we had an open call May to June. And then July, the playwrights got together. So we had an open call. We were like, hey, KL, hey, playwrights, we want to hear from you. We want to work with you over an extended amount of time, a few months. We'll have master classes. We'll have workshops with actors. And then at the end of it, we want to publish your work. It's the longest thing I've worked on ever. Like, it was a year-long kind of thing. And we just got our books, right? The anthology of plays has just gotten to KL Pack.
What kind of numbers did you get in terms of your applicants?
Oh, we got quite a few, actually. I was quite surprised. I thought maybe we'll get like 10, 15. But yeah, we got... I can't remember now because it's been some time. But I remember because we made sure we interviewed everybody. We made sure we read every single script that was presented to us as a panel. Myself, Joe, Farida, Omar Ali, Mark Bo De Silva, the team here at KL Pack and the Actors Studio. So yeah, we sat down till late hours of night just discussing the plays, each playing a character, and then we had interviews to make sure, you know, get to know the playwrights. But yeah, it was quite a few, and it was very encouraging, and very encouraging.
Did they come with a play, a skeletal play to pitch, or did they come say, look, I'm interested, I've done some work in the past, but for this particular project, I want to work on something, but at this point, I don't know? Or did you require them to have some idea of what they want to develop?
We just asked for them to send us a sample of the work that they hope to work on for a year, for the 6 months that the new play project would go on for. We got all sorts. We got some scenes. Some of them sent us a whole first act already. Some of them sent us just a few character breakdown or what in the film they call a treatment or something like that. So we got varying stages of development, yeah. But yeah, if you ask Ridwan and Terrence, I think they each submitted something of different sizes or, yeah.
So what was the process over this 12 months?
The first 6 months was like almost every week we would meet up and I would give the playwrights prompts and then they'll bring in their work and they'll critique each other's work, they'll challenge each other's work. I remember, for example, like they each gave each other like impossible stage directions to each other. They said that you got to put this in your play, you got to put this in your play or something like that. So yeah, a lot of collaboration between the playwrights, because I know playwriting sometimes is very like a hermitage, you know, you're like, you got to be like a hermit, you know, go in the cave and work by yourself. But yeah, for this new play project, the playwrights were meeting constantly. And then they met with master teachers, of course, Joe Kukutas, Namron, Harish Sharma from Singapore, The Necessary Stage, Mark Bo De Silva, a writer in residence at the Actors Studio, also gave a master class. And then they would bring the work to actors as well, to workshop, to hear them, hear their work being read and played by actors of different calibers, from young amateur actors to very professional seasoned actors. So yeah, it was a lot of collaboration. In another interview I was asked this, kind of the experience of the new play project, and the metaphor I always went back to was like Large Hadron Collider. So we would shoot the playwrights and their ideas and their scripts or and smash them together and see what happens, you know. And yeah, so Ridwan Saidi and Terence Toh and then clash and see what happens. And then, you know, Harish Sharma with the playwrights and clash and then see what happens. Actors and then the playwrights see clash them and then see what happens. So yeah, if there was a metaphor for it, it would be kind of the Large Hadron Collider.
What did you say to them to make them go head to head?
No, I just encourage critiquing, finding out what they enjoyed from each other's pieces. We read as well a lot of theory, you know, from Aristotle to Brecht to... what else did we read? Quite a number of articles. Mamet, I think we read a bit of David Mamet's writing as well. For me, I just felt... because when I was in university, I learned playwriting like this as well. You know, we'll bring in our work and everyone in the class was a playwright, so we'll critique each other's work. What do we like? And then we'll challenge each other. Okay, why not you try this? Why not you try this JIT? So I just created that space. Mm.
The system or the process you're talking about suggests to me there's a certain amount of adversarial approach, there's a certain amount of confrontation. But, you know, we are not that kind of culture. At least that's what I'm told. At least I'm... made to understand that, you know, if you are too critical, people don't like you. You have to somehow walk softly around people. How did you promote that, or how did you encourage a kind of candor?
I think in the beginning, I was very much emphasizing what do we enjoy about the work. You know, and then from there, you can say, you know, if like a playwright says, oh, I really love this moment, but doesn't say anything about the next moment, then I guess for you as a playwright or maker, like, ah, so maybe the next moment, there's, you know, I could work on that. So yeah, it was a lot of, I think opinions just going around, like, I love this, I like that. Yeah, so not so much adversarial, I don't think so, but more, yeah, right, like, because each of them comes from a different backgrounds and different kind of writing style, so just seeing them react and counter-react, you know, to all these prompts and challenges and opinions.
Okay, I think it's time to bring in the playwrights and talk to them about their works. Mm-hmm. I've been talking to Tung Jit Yang, the director-in-residence at KL PAC, who is the chief facilitator of the new play project Book One, which opened on Wednesday. Coming up, we'll talk to two of the four playwrights, Ridwan Saidi, who wrote Mautopia, and Terence Toh, who wrote Restless. Adi Wijaya Iskandar and Juno Ui are not here. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You're tuned to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. In the first half of the interview, I talked to Tung Jit Yang, director in residence and facilitator of the Actors Studio Seni Theatre Rakyat's The New Play Project Book One. We discussed this program he conducted, which started a year ago. And over the last 12 months, the writers rewrote, workshopped, experimented, watched actors read out and performed scenes, etc. Two of the writers are here, Ridwan Saidi and Terence Toh. So we'll start with Mautopia by Ridwan Saidi. Ridwan, tell me, what is this play about?
Yeah, Mautopia is about power, knowledge, education, extinction. It sets in a dystopian world, yeah, where ants and human beings were the last to... living beings, yeah, on Earth, yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Quickly, the plot line.
It's about a group of school children. They are rebelling or something towards their teachers, but their teachers...
How old are these students?
I didn't set the age, but maybe around Sekolah Menengah, yeah. Yeah.
What's the cause for this rebellion?
They just found out that their teachers is aliens or something, yeah. There are giant ants who wear this humanoid suit. I call it suit manusoid. So they became the ustaz, the guru discipline, the guru besar. So they found out that they live in a society which is being controlled by ants. Yeah.
So the ustaz, the leaders, are all aliens and the students are the human beings.
Yes, yes.
So how does this play about aliens, a Malaysian play?
It's not like literally. It's aliens because... Not aliens from outer space, because ants is from the Earth itself, but...
Still aliens when I think about the ant and myself. I mean, we are not the same species.
That is the point. The otherness, though. How do you deal with the other beings? Yeah. Because I choose ants because ant has this very... other kind of system, living system. Not technocracy. They're macam, they're the queen, they're the workers, they're the soldiers. They're
kind of hierarchy.
Hierarchy, but there are no artists. In ant society, there are no artists. They are only macam workers. Queen.
busy workers.
Yes. So in this school, there's no art teachers. Only the other teachers,
Is this a metaphor then that in Malaysia, or at least in our culture, we have a lot of workers, we don't have artists in Malaysia? Is that where you're pushing us to?
I don't know. Maybe it's... I don't know, because I don't do this like consciously, but subconsciously, I realize like Sumatra is our near... Indonesia. Sumatra is basically Semut Raya. I just found out this. The king saw this like macam semut sebesar tupai, so an ant size of a squirrel or something. So I just realized something special about this ant. Like in our culture, like in kampung, usually kalau budak nakal kalau dia nakal selalu kena ikat kat pokok. Usually people tie them to these trees and these ants will bite them. In old days lah. So this is something yang... It's a form of education, but using torture, but it exists in Malaysia, in this Nusantara punya... So I'm using it as a much a base metaphor, so I just expand it into a school system, like into a more modern kind of education, yeah. So they are using like violence and torture to control the students, yeah.
I know we are now living in Malaysia Baru, but the whole notion of pulling in religious figures or any allusion to a religion, and more so when we have a kind of state religion, if that's the right expression to use, does this cause some kind of anxiety for the producer?
I don't know. That's why I love the theatre so much, I think. Because we live so much in the fringes. We don't have to deal with censorship board as big. You know, in Malaysia, lama lah. You know, in the old Malaysia, right? Yeah, no one really... You know, a fringe art form that we could get away with a lot of things. So for me, there was no worry, no qualm about subject matter. It's just more for me as an artist, like, is this story really... Does it say something special? Does it say something that's quite immediate? Is it quite urgent? Is there an audience perhaps for it? So those were my concerns, more so than, is this subject matter too touchy to talk about? No, I didn't really,
Rizwan, did you yourself think about, I am treading into an area that might make some people uncomfortable?
Yeah, I don't know. But I think usually, because I'm a novelist as well, so I write novels, and because in novels, you have this Goodreads, so I can read like much a review, so there are some people who can get offended and some like it, so I don't care, I'm not okay, macam, I think that's how it is. If there's somebody who very like it, there will always be another one who really, really hate it. So it's normal, yeah. It's normal for me, yeah.
As far as this process is concerned, where you met for a year, which part of the process did you find most useful for you?
Each meeting point is important to me lah. Yeah. Because we meet like each week once. So other than that, we do other stuff, and then we enter this space, we meet together. So it keeps our mind get back on track. Now, because when we do this full length play, you need like focus. It's like writing a novel. You need some stamina to focus on this long scale. Yeah.
So coming and meeting with your fellow writers, with the director in residence, who's the facilitator and who brings in all these different people, this was the stimulus to keep you going and to keep you focused.
Yeah, yes, yes.
At what stage is your play now, as far as you're concerned? Is it done?
Yeah, I think it's done. Once it's published, it's considered done. To me, yeah. Because there's this Walt Whitman, ada siapa yang punya poetry, always Leaf of Grass. Or,
Leaves of Grass is by Walt Whitman. Yes,
it's like macam his life journey. But because Mautopia, I've written the novel with the same title, Mautopia. So basically, this version is the theatrical version, but it's not the literal adaptation. Because I am.
You've made changes to it.
Yes. There are a few different characters. Because whenever I change medium, there will always be some changes. Yeah.
Jit, when you were looking at Ridgewan's play, what did you have to ask yourself to say, yeah, this qualifies as a Malaysian story?
It's a feel thing, isn't it? We Malaysia very rasa one, I feel. You know, like when you read it, it's like, yeah, this is a feel, sounds right, feels right. I was asked this question also in another interview, but I cannot really pinpoint it, you know. But I kind of like, it's one of those things where you read it and you hear it and you're like, yeah, it reflects a certain experience of being Malaysian. But I mean, the obvious things will of course be, you know, you're a citizen of Malaysia. It's in kind of a Malaysian language. Those are the obvious ones, of course. But there are some plays written by fellow Malaysians, by fellow KLites that the resounding or the resonance, you know, is perhaps not there, or the immediacy for the playwright is like, oh, I need to tell this story, you know? And yeah, for me, I was looking for, I guess, those things instead of like a box checklist to like, okay, this is Malaysian, not Malaysian enough, very Malaysian, sub-Malaysian, you know? Yeah, there was no criteria like that.
I guess now it's time for us to talk to Terence Toh. Tiptoe through the window. When I think of Terence Toh and his last, The Working Dead, and now he has something that also has echoes of the dead, zombies and people living with some other beings in another dimension. To some extent, we are in Malaysia, we love our stories about hantus. But to some extent, Terence, when I hear your characters and the situations they find themselves in, I don't find them like specifically Malaysian, except for their names. How do you see these as Malaysian works?
Well, okay, for me, I mean, first of all, I mean, the characters are, you know, purely Malaysian, basically. And the situations that they are in, I mean, okay, maybe, you know, they're not, you know, specifically so Malaysian, like set in the kampung and all that sort of thing. But they deal with universal issues, which are issues that, like in my play, they deal with love, they deal with career, they deal with moving on, which are areas that everyone, and even Malaysians, I feel, you know, how do you say, they have to deal with that as well. And sometimes the way they deal with it is a slightly more Malaysian way of dealing with things. Like, for example, I don't spoiler a lot or anything, but in my play, like, obviously to deal with the ghosts, they have to deal with an exorcist. They don't call, like, you know, like in the movie, a Roman Catholic exorcist. They call, like, a Chinese exorcist. And they talk about, you know, from a the religious point of view. So it's slightly... I guess the situations that they deal with are more universal, but the way they deal with them, how they handle the situation, to me at least, I feel, is a more Malaysian, Asian sort of way.
How important for you? Is it to say, look, I'm writing, therefore it must be a Malaysian work, or you just go ahead and write, and whatever happens, happens. The writing drives itself.
I think it's more of the writing drives itself. I've never, you know, sat down and thought to myself, oh, how Malaysian is this? You know, on the Malaysian meter from, I don't know, like hot dogs to nasi lemak, how Malaysian is it? I've never thought of that in that way. I mean, because my theory is I'm Malaysian. I lived my whole life in... Okay, I went overseas for a year to study, but other than that, I've lived almost 30 years in Malaysia. So I'm Malaysian. How I write would automatically be Malaysian, whether I like it or not.
I've also heard, not necessarily about you, that because of Malaysians going to school overseas, when they come back, they write in a language, quote, that is not authentically Malaysian, whatever that means. Does this apply at all in your consciousness?
First of all, I mean, you know, what makes something authentically Malaysian? Is there a board going around, you know, giving the stamp of approval? Yes, this is Malaysian enough. We have so many different cultures. We all speak in our different ways. You know, Malay people speak in different, Chinese people different way. People from the urban areas, from rural areas, we would all speak in our different sort of ways. I mean, what I feel is, as long as you speak in a way that's truthful to yourself, and it's the way that you express yourself best, then, you know, that's the way I decide to write things.
I think you already hinted what your story is, in that you have people living with the dead, and then I assume now some exorcist is called in. For you, though, what has been the most beneficial part of this process?
Okay, well, the entire process has been great, but for me, I feel the part that has helped me the most has definitely been the whole collaborative aspect. Before this, I mean, whenever I wrote, it was mostly just me at home, you know, at the table by myself with the laptop, just writing, you know, everything was, they say a writer is a lonely job. But here, you know, I had other people to sort of, because sometimes, you know, you have an idea, you think it's good, but you know, you're not sure how it's going to be received, how people are going to take it. So it was interesting to see how people reacted to it, what stuff they liked, what stuff they didn't like. And some of the suggestions, the ideas they gave, I really think helped to build up the play to make it much better. So it's great. And then, you know, when you had the actors into it, I could actually, from the beginning, see things being staged, you know, being brought to life. And that really helped my process. So it was invaluable.
Jit, for those who have not seen it, what happens during a stage reading? Do we have five people or six people sitting on stools with a mic in front of their faces and they are reading the parts?
So for this new play project stage readings, we'll be reading from, of course, Ridwan Saidi's Mautopia, Terence Toh's Restless, Adi Wijaya Iskandar's Mixtape for Maz, and Juno Huifen's Plays Without Words and Actions. So if you would come to our stage readings each night, you will be able to hear and listen to a different play. Stage readings are not so often done here, but it's definitely not actors on stools reading, just reading from the script. It's still staged, right? So it's stage reading. So there will be lights, light effects, sound. There will be some blocking or some stage pictures to look at. But I think it's also a way to showcase, for me, to showcase the plays to people who would like to stage it, you know, in the future, to theatre producers, the theatre industry, saying, hey, look at these exciting plays. Listen to them. There will be some stuff for you to look at on stage. But I would like you to imagine, oh, what if you staged this? What if you took this to your classroom, to your theatre class, to your theatre, don't know, wherever, and staged it full for yourself? Or maybe if you want to do it in a small space, a tiny space, can you imagine? Yeah, so it's kind of a snippet, a showcase of what these plays could be fully produced. Yeah.
How would a play that is without words or action, how would it be produced? What would we see?
So Plays Without Words and Action is Juno Huifen's work. She's the newest, I think, of the other playwrights. She's a literature student from UM, a PhD candidate. She's very interested in form, experiments in form. If I would just name off some people off the list, right, like Samuel Beckett, Sarah Kane. She was also very interested in art forms like Buto, which are kind of like reaction against form, isn't it? Reaction against traditional forms. So yeah, she's our experimentalist. So yeah, it's tough to have a stage reading of a play with only stage directions. So yeah, it'll be an interesting ride. In its own self, a show, I think, yeah.
One play that we have not mentioned.
Yeah, it's a Mixtape for Maz by Adi Wijaya Iskandar. Mixtape for Maz is a memory play, if you want to think about like Tennessee Williams a little bit. So yeah, it's a memory play. It surrounds a brother and sister who are not Malaysian enough to be considered Malaysian in their new asrama school, but not Australian enough to be Australians because they just came back from Australia. So it's about, I guess, like otherness, as Ridwan mentioned, kind of what does it mean to be the other and being constantly the other, and how do we fit in? But it's very personal work. It's quite in the realm of naturalism, I would argue. Very heartfelt, it's set in the 90s. So yeah, it's kind of a memory play, but that reminds us of, are things very different now? Maybe even worse, perhaps, now? So yeah, I think that's what Mixtape for Mars does.
This is book one. Book two means this plays get staged, or book two means a new batch of writers?
A new batch of writers, a new book of plays. I'm really into trilogies right now, so I'm hoping book one, book two, book three. Yeah, when Ridwan said for him, Maltopia is done, for me, Maltopia now is ready to be begun by other theatre companies. All these plays are now ready to be taken off into, put in your season. You know, theatre practitioners, theatre students, you know, you're looking for a monologue, looking for a play to read, to study, to do in your classrooms. Yeah, this book one is for you. Book two will be something like this, a new bunch of playwrights, and now Malaysia Baru, you know, who knows what will come out of book two.
So four brand new plays, looking for a director, looking for a producer, looking for an ensemble of actors. Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Tung Jit Yang, Terence Toh, and Ridwan Saidi, all part of this weekend's offering, the new play project Book One, which takes place in Pentas 2, KL Pak. Four brand new locally written plays are getting their first public airing as stage readings. Today at 8:30 p.m., Wrestlers by Terence Toh. Saturday at 3 p.m., Maltopia by Ridwan Saidi. Saturday at 8:30 p.m., Plays Without Words and Action by Juno Ui, which will be performed again on Sunday at the same time. Then on Sunday at 3 p.m., Mixtape for Mars by Adi Wijaya Iskandar. Entrance by a minimum donation of 15 ringgit or more. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.